Exodus chapter 24, you'll see that the NIV entitles this, The Covenant Confirmed. We read from verse 1, knowing that this is God's word. Then he, God, said to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. You are to worship at a distance, but Moses alone is to approach the Lord. The others must not come near, and the people may not come up with him. When Moses went and told the people all the Lord's words and laws, they responded with one voice, everything the Lord has said, we will do. Moses then wrote down everything the Lord had said. He got up early the next morning and built an altar at the foot of the mountain and set up 12 stone pillars representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Then he sent young Israelite men, and they offered burnt offerings and sacrificed young bulls as fellowship offerings to the Lord. Moses took half of the blood and put it in bowls. The other half he sprinkled on the altar. Then he took the book of the covenant and read it to the people. They responded, we will do everything the Lord has said. We will obey. Moses then took the blood, sprinkled it on the people, and said, this is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. Moses and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders of Israel went up and saw the God of Israel. Under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. But God did not raise his hand against these leaders of the Israelites. They saw God, and they ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and commands I have written for their instruction. Then Moses set out with Joshua, his assistant, and Moses went up on the mountain of God. He said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go to them. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on top of the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. We trust that God will bless to us this reading from his word. John.
Well, I invite you to open your Bible with me to Exodus 24 this morning. Exodus 24. Please do turn it up as we look at this passage together. Here's my question for you this morning. If you could have a VIP backstage pass to any event in the world, what would you go for? Access granted all areas, a VIP pass, into what event would you choose? Perhaps last week you got consumed in the Masters Golf and so you'd like a VIP pass to Augusta, or maybe it's the FA Cup, and you'd love to be at Wembley for that. Maybe it's a West End show, your favorite show that you would love to have a backstage pass to meet the cast. Or perhaps an artist or a band, someone that you really enjoy their music. A VIP backstage pass, access all areas, treated by security like you belong, rather than being told to stay away. And you have an opportunity to talk to the celebrity. You have an opportunity to be treated as friends and not as enemies. You can enjoy the food and the good food that the other half enjoy. But that experience for us, that's not normal, sure. It's not our normal day-to-day experience being the VIP, having access granted. Normally, we're told to stay on the cool side of the red rope, as it were, the little gold stands and the little red rope. There'll be a picture for us here. You'll see. You know what I'm talking about whenever it comes to this experience. And we're kept on the outside, aren't we? We're not welcome. We're kept back. Outsiders, not welcome, kept, back. And when we think about the kingdom of God, I wonder, where do we stand? On what side of the divide are we? Whenever we read Exodus 24, whenever we read our Bibles, where do you think we stand? Are we allowed access, VIPs, welcome? Or are we on the outside, kept back, strangers, enemies, not welcome? So that's what we want to think about this morning. Do we have access, or are we not welcome? Are we treated as friends, or are we treated as enemies? Are we insiders, or are we outsiders? Because what we have here in Exodus 24 is God's covenantal people. God's covenantal people being brought to our God and being reminded of who they are. It's a paradigm for us that we'll see worked out for us in the new covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so hopefully today we'll see some strands that'll lead us to there, and it'll help us to apply this into our lives. Now, let's remember what's going on in redemptive history at this moment. We had the garden in Genesis where Adam and Eve were created. All was well, all was good. They had welcome, they were welcome, they were friends, and they were insiders with God. And then sin destroys it. Sin tears it apart. But God makes a covenant, doesn't he? He promises to send one that will come, who will rescue his people. He comes to Abraham and he sends promises to Abraham, makes a covenant with him. And what we have here in Exodus is God rescuing a people, bringing these promises to bear upon his people. And he brings them to Mount Sinai, as we thought about the last couple of weeks, so that they could worship. And in a sense, Exodus 24 is this reminder to the people, a reminder about who they are. And I hope this morning it'll serve as a reminder to us about who we are. Now, Exodus 24, if you imagine, is like a big sponge that's laden full of heavy water. It's got much in it for us. We're going to be able to wring just some of that out this morning. Please do go home and think about it this afternoon and read it again. But as we make our way through, we are going to see three things, because the chapter really falls into three levels. You'll notice that the people come, and the people are level one, and there's a ceremony happens with the people. And then there's the 70 elders, and they make it halfway up the mountain. The people are kept at the foot of the mountain. The 70 elders make it halfway up, and then Moses, he makes it all the way to the top. There's the three sections, okay? So three things for us to see as we work through. And the first is this: covenantal people. So that means, young people, if you're taking notes, people of God's promise, covenantal people. Covenantal people enjoy God's peace. Covenantal people enjoy God's peace. This is verses 1 through 8. How do you know that there's peace between people? Well, usually they shake hands, they exchange pleasantries. Or if you're thinking about nations, how would we know that there's peace between nations? Well, they maybe pose for a photograph together. They'll have the two flags side by side. But the question that we need to know this morning, for all of us here, the key question for us as human beings is, how do we know that we have peace with God? How can we be certain that we have peace with God? How do we know that we're no longer enemies of God? Well, let's look at it. Let's look at Exodus 24. Because what happens in this covenant confirmation ceremony is that the Lord draws people to himself to have peace with them. You see how it begins? What happens? The Lord speaks in verse 1, and he summonses the people. Come up. The Lord takes the initiative. He calls. And the people, they come. And what happens is then that they believe in the Lord. They respond. An altar is built, and a sacrifice is made. Now, we could spend some time here as an aside talking about the shape of worship, the order of worship. But simply, we want to point out, verse 1, the Lord calls, like we start our service each Sunday, each Lord's Day morning and evening. The Lord calls, he speaks, he takes the initiative. He calls us to come. Then verse 3, you see that the word is read, the declaration of the word. We have the reading of God's word in the Bible, each and every service of worship. Verse 3, there's a confession of faith. All the words that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We commit ourselves to Him. And then verses 5 and 6 and 7, we have the visible signs of the gospel. This altar that is built, this blood that is shed, and that shows us something of our baptism and of the Lord's Supper, these signs of the gospel, signs for us about the good news. So all that said, in summary, really, the Lord sets the terms of worship, doesn't He? Now let's get into the passage. If we were in a restaurant and we saw someone in a white coat and a big white hat, we would know that they were a chef instantly, no questions asked. And whenever we are in Scripture and we see a sacrifice and a meal, that should hit alarm bells in our mind to say, covenant. There's a covenant being made. If we see a meal and we see sacrifice, we think covenant. And the two elements are here. Now, first one that we're going to dwell on is the significance of the blood. You see it here in verse 5. What is going on? There are two offerings made. There's a whole burnt offering and a peace offering. Now, the whole burnt offering was offered for sin. That was to make atonement for sin and for guilt. Okay. Dealing with sin. And then the peace offering was made between God and between His people. And you see it there, verse 6. Half the blood was thrown on the altar or sprinkled on the altar, and the other half on the people. And this symbolizes the seriousness of covenant. It was life and death for the people. And to enter into the covenant brought blessing. But to break the covenant also would bring curses. But what we see above this all is God drawing His people in, bringing them to Himself, bringing them out of slavery, bringing them through the wilderness, bringing them to the mountain. And in a sense, what happens? They are covered, they are sprinkled in the blood again. Remember? Passover lamb. The household's covered, the lintel of the door covered with blood. Now again, the people are sprinkled with blood. They are covered in blood. How do we know that we have peace with God? Well, blood has to be shed. And in the Old Testament, that was the blood of bulls or of goats or of sheep. But in the New Testament, we know that it's someone else's blood that would be shed, isn't it? Someone else's blood that would be shed so that we could have welcome, so that we could be friends again, so that we could be insiders, so that we could have an Eden-esque relationship with the Lord restored. Only peace available by being under the blood. Peace is only available by being under the blood. And the one who would come, who would shed his blood would be sufficient for all people forever. A once and for all sacrifice. The one who would make atonement by his blood, who would reconcile us to God. And it would be on his terms. He would call us to come close. And whenever we think about the Lord Jesus, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 puts it into perfect words for us. It'll come up on the screen. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these people in the Exodus, they are still trying to figure out who God is and what He is like. And as they approach, you can see it. You can see it at the end of our chapter. Verse 17, what do they see the Lord's glory like? They see Him like a devouring fire. This great cloud of smoke, He is to be feared. In Exodus chapter 19, the people can't come close. And now the Lord has called them to come close, welcoming them, bringing them in. In Exodus 19, He would strike out against them if they got too close to the mountain. And here in Exodus 24, as the covenant is being confirmed, as God confirms His promises to the people, He's saying, no, now you're welcome, you can come. And that's what we're going to see in the tabernacle, the principle of the tabernacle, God coming to be with His people. It's like Eden, but they're not fully restored. We're still waiting on the one at this point in Scripture who will come and restore. And so remember these words. We now have welcome. We are now friends. We're now insiders. We're now worshipers again because of what's going on in Exodus 24 and then fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And very simply this morning, our point of application from this is, where do you stand? Have you come under the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning? Because if you're not under His blood, if you haven't taken the cross of Calvary and bowed the knee at the cross and claimed the Lord's forgiveness there at the cross, if you're not covered underneath the blood of the cross, of the Lamb who was slain, well then, this morning if you're here, you're still an enemy with God. There is no peace for you. You're under His wrath. You'll be under His judgment. You're still His enemy. And you cannot come close lest He will strike out against you. And the only way this morning to be friends again with the Lord, as it were, to be welcomed, to be brought in, is to come under the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and to see His sacrifice for us, His blood shed, so that we could be welcomed in. So this morning, where do you stand? Have you peace with God? Or have you not? Secondly then, God's covenantal people enjoy God's presence. They enjoy His presence. This is verses 9 through 11. It was an ancient custom whenever two warring nations brought peace between themselves. As they brokered peace, they would sit down and they would have a meal together. And in a sense, that still holds true for us. We don't invite enemies into our home to eat with us. We don't lavish hospitality on people that are against us often in the world. And here, what we have is the Lord showing His people that you are no longer hostile to me, you're no longer under wrath, but I am bringing you in, you're covered in the blood, and you're coming in to have a meal with me. Peace and presence of the Lord. And so, verse 10, we see these group of 70 elders go up. Nadab and Abihu and Aaron and Moses, they go up. And then what happens? Verse 10, this remarkable thing happens. In verse 10, they saw the God of Israel. They saw the God of Israel. A people who had to be kept at distance, now coming in close. Now, what does this mean? Let's hit pause. Let's slow down for a moment. Because some people here this morning will say to me, yes, John, what does this mean? Because in Exodus 33 and 20, we're told, no man can see God and live. And in John chapter 6 and verse 46, the Lord Jesus speaks and He says, no man has seen the Father except he who is from God. So what's happening? What's going on in this moment? Well, I think it's what's happening in Ezekiel chapter 1, and these words will come up, they'll probably be quite small, but Ezekiel chapter 1 and verses 26 through 28, again, a similar experience. Let's read it together. And above the expanse over their heads, there was like the likeness of a throne, an appearance like sapphire, and seated above the likeness of a throne was the likeness with a human appearance. And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and there was brightness around him, like the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud on the day of rain. So was the appearance of the brightness all around. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard the voice of one speaking. You see, here is another image, a glimpse of God, but we know that no one can see God and live. We know that Jesus said, no one can see the Father except he is who has come from the Father. So what do we have? We have this pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're experiencing here. One in the form of a human, like human appearance in Ezekiel, and again here in Exodus 24. And look at the detail. Do the men fall down in verse 10? We're not told, but it would seem likely, just like they fall down in Ezekiel 1, that they fell on their face. Because look at how they describe it. There was under his feet. Is that all they can see? Because they lie prostrate on the ground. They lie with their face to the ground. Under his feet, there was like a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. They meet the Lord. In one way or whatever way it is that they describe it here, we don't get all of the details, maybe words escape them, but they come and they meet the God of Israel. They see him and they're brought right into his presence. And the remarkable thing is that God didn't raise his hand to strike them down in this moment. Instead, he raises his hand, as it were, to invite them in and to sit and be fed. Look at verse 11. They beheld God and they ate and drank. Wouldn't you love to have been there? To be halfway up the mountain as the Lord comes and we see the Lord, we behold him, and we are able to eat and to drink with him. Well, one day, brothers and sisters, this will be us. How? Well, through the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in a sense, it already is us, because Exodus 24 is a precursor to the Lord's Supper, isn't it? The Lord's Supper stands for us all to see. What happens again? A sacrifice paid and a meal initiated. The new covenant through the Lord Jesus Christ brought to us, his new covenant people, so that we may have peace and we may have his presence. Isn't that the two themes that run throughout Scripture? Lord, we long for your peace. Lord, we long for your presence. If the Lord goes with me, I will be strong. If his peace is upon me, then I'll be at rest. And in the New Testament, sacrifice and a meal. Jesus invites, doesn't he? He invites the representatives. You see, these 70 elders, they represent all of the people of Israel. And in the New Testament, Jesus invites the 12, the representatives of the people, to come and to eat. And he doesn't strike them down. He washes them. And he doesn't raise his hand to hit them. He raises his hand to feed them. This is my cup of the new covenant. Take, drink of it. Come and enjoy this meal. Do this in remembrance of me. And the bread, this is my body broken for you. Come, eat, do this in remembrance of me. It's a meal of peace. It's a meal of his presence. And the Lord invites those to come and to trust him and to sit at his table. That's what's on offer for us today. To come and to sit at his table. No longer enemies, but guests. No longer kept away, now invited in. No longer rebels on the outside of the kingdom, banished to the dark and cold. Instead, sons and daughters, you get to sit at the king's table. Jesus saves his people. God saves his people to bring us to a table. Revelation 19:9. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. God's peace. God's presence for his covenantal people. And in a word, God's covenantal people then will dwell in his peace and presence forever. We will dwell in his glory. This is verses 12 through 18. I wonder this morning, if you come arrived into church, I wonder, are you weary? That's an experience for so many of us. Or are you tired in your faith? Or maybe you're coming along this morning as a non-Christian, and you haven't glimpsed the Lord's glory. You kind of think that this is something that's nice for some people. We sort of set it over here. Some people in society do it, but you have had no experience of the greatness of our God. You think he's irrelevant, outdated, insignificant. Well, look at the glory of the Lord that descends on the mountain as Moses ascends. Verse 15, Moses went up on the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it. It's like the appearance of fire that will consume. And this is what we long for, to be in his presence, for his glory to shine upon us. Moses gets to ascend further into the Lord's presence. He's the representative head of the people. He dwells in God's presence, but it's only briefly. And for the rest, they can't approach. Outsiders kept back because of sin. But there is one who would come, who would bring us face to face with the glory of our God, who, if you're not a Christian, would expand your mind and your heart, who will open your eyes, who you will see as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it remarkable how John, in John chapter 1, verse 14, says this? And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the Lord's glory would descend upon the mountain, and then the people would have to ascend up. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Only he who has clean hands and a pure heart. And that rules us all out. Instead, then, what happens as this precursor is just a shadow of what will come, then the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't just descend onto a mountain. He descends and takes our flesh. He brings us face to face with our God. And he lays down his life so that we may come into his glory and experience this glory. And this morning, it may not feel like it yet at Hill Street, but this is a little crumb of what it means to gather together as God's people and to be in his glory. We should long to be here Sunday after Sunday. Enjoy one another's presence as we sing his praise, giving us just a little crumb of what is to come, where we will be in his glory forever, in his presence, in his peace. And it's all granted by the Lord Jesus Christ. And through his blood, our time's gone. Let us close. We have been rescued this morning. New Covenant people of God, you have been rescued for peace and for presence to come and to sit at a table and enjoy a meal. You've been rescued for what? For relationship. You've been given VIP access, as it were, not just to a celebrity, but to our God. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, through his summons to come close. And this is who we are, and this is what we enjoy. Welcome. Friends, worshipers. So when it comes to God's kingdom, where do we stand? Where do you stand today? Are you an enemy? If you are, will you run to Christ today and seek his forgiveness? Are you an outsider? Will you run to Christ so that you may be brought in and brought close and enjoy his peace and his presence forevermore? And if you are a Christian, if you have believed on the Lord, well then rejoice. Rejoice that this is our story. And we will dwell in his glory, not just for a day or for 6 days, but forevermore.